Blog Talk Radio.
What's in the news, family? Let's share some beneficial words. We'll be doing that in a few minutes. Peace. Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your keypad when you want to have a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You will then be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the follow button. I am Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Fermi, who, like me, is a member of Uru. Peace, Brother Thurman. How are you doing tonight?
Peace, sister. It's so good always to be in good company of our sisters and brothers.
And we know that you have some good news to share. So, Brother Thurman, what's in the news? What beneficial words do you have to share with the family tonight? Or to get the family to start discussing?
Yes, we definitely want the family to bring forth some news, and we need loads and loads and loads of good news. And while simultaneously we still must be aware of what's going on around us that's not desirable, not that we advocate for it, but we've got to share news on a regular basis, and that used to be common amongst us in our villages and in our nations before the invaders came, that we would be talking to each other and sharing information and news and deep thought and beneficial words. And so the topic is what's in the news, family, and then let's share some beneficial words. Beneficial words, in terms of giving some meaning to it, would be words that are advantageous, favorable, helpful in terms of health, profitable, worthy, kindness. And if you, are we getting lots and lots and lots of that? I don't think so. I think that the masses are not speaking beneficial words. And if that were so, we would be on a higher state of success towards achieving our re-achieving our freedom and being also very aware of doing everything that's necessary to maintain that freedom. And so we've got to focus on beneficial words and throw in the ash can of history, like John Henry Clark said, the words that's not favorable, not advantageous, and not speaking in not words of kindness. And as one of the elder founders of Us Lifting Us, Baba Hakima, said, the greatest waste of time is to be busy doing the wrong thing. And doing the wrong thing, speaking the wrong thing. Martin Luther King said, the language right. And,
sure.
And so we've got to examine this, because there's beneficial words, but there's got to be beneficial thinking that would guide us in terms of the words that we would choose. And there's a lot of pollution in the minds of the people that needs a severe cleansing, and those we need to get those cussing B-word, N-word things and throw them in the ash can of history, as John Professor Ancestor John Henry Clark said. And the beneficial words, the beneficial thinking. And if we were thinking, the masses of us, in beneficial ways, we would be investing in health and we would be healthy. And if there's a mass rise in kidney dialysis centers, it is focusing largely on our people. It's because we are not investing in health. We are investing in eating ourselves sick, investing in the Nutricide diet. For Dr. Africa's book, Nutricide. Nutricide means the nutritional destruction of the black race. We are investing the masses. Now, the ones that don't invest in that, they're having huge success in comparison. And so it's foolish.
Right.
But the problem is we're not dealing with beneficial thinking. In Ulu, we need the sisters and brothers to come forth and help us in lifting us out of this state of emergency that we've been in for a long time. Because it's all solvable. We have to focus together and be using and practicing beneficial thinking and using beneficial words and all of the other essentials that goes with that, and that we would all jump right in with us lifting us. I mean, that's a phrase that should never go away. It's the way for us to be lifting us. And we need to, beneficial thinking would lead us to participate in the Ulu businesses and just invest in fauna. Fauna is a recent Ulu business that's in place and working. And fauna is an African term. It means one who provides light, honor, and wealth. One who provides light, honor, and wealth. And Fauna Properties LLC is involved in going forward in terms of real estate and land acquisitions. And on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, there's actually a property that Fauna has recently listed that's an investment fix-a-flip investor special that's in Macon, Georgia. And we're asking Ulu members that's got knowledge in terms of doing real estate and land and residential and commercial acquisitions, as well as got finances that they can contribute to doing some property acquisitions, and also to help us to take over some blocks so that we will not, that those blocks would not be subject to gentrification, but in the process also being able, Fauna is positioning ourselves and Us Lifting Us to be able to fairly, justly help our people with housing while we are circulating money and leaving legacies for ourselves. And all of the things that go with that, you know, how to structure, you know, legacies and how you properly leave money versus just leaving money with no will and all of those kind of things. And so all of this is in the direction of beneficial thinking.
For sure. You were talking about beneficial words, and we have been told repeatedly that the power is in the word, that everything is spoken into existence. However, we have not been encouraged to guard our tongue so that we say all kinds of, we curse ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been programmed that cursing is only certain, you know, what they call expletive deleted or four-letter words. But that's not necessarily the case. You can curse yourself by the things that you say about yourself. And we can curse ourselves as a race by the things we say about ourselves as a race. The beneficial word is, you know, it would do us good to, I guess the people used to say, think before you speak. And if what you have to say is not uplifting, it's not necessary to be said.
Yes, I agree with you on that. And and going forward with the conversation, we certainly want family that's heard around the world to join us in this conversation. And got something that I wanted to share. That's and this is about news and about how we, what we consume, and in fact that we've got to be aware, but it fits right in with the subject of beneficial thinking. And so often you hear people say they ignore the news or they don't know what's going on. But we do need to know what's going on. However news comes in print, tabloid, blog, visual, virtual, and audio, one or more of these platforms are coming into our world. The issue is not our consumption of the news, but our understanding of history. Everything we've done or not is entrenched in history, both personal and worldwide. What we are doing or not doing is determined by either negative or positive news. News shapes our reality. When the first enslaved Africans reached the English colonies, it was news in 1619. As well, news that the oldest pyramid, the first monumental stone building designed, was erected in Kemet. News of our ancestors inventing black ink, clocks, and surgical instruments, and yoga that existed in Kemet thousands of years ago in the Nile Valley. If the news we rely on is false, fake, or filtered, we live a limited life. And I want to read that again. If the news we rely on is false, fake, or filtered, we live a limited life. Neither we nor the next generation will reach our fullest potential. Instead, we become a distortion, making wrong choices in life. No harm in hearing what the world is saying about you. If it's false, correct it. Once again, if it's false, correct it. Reading and seeking the truth is the only way to know it's false. And this article about the news and about this leading us and speaking to the better ways of thinking is the words of sister, I believe her name is Robin, and she's founder, maybe the creator of Ashe Yoga Studio. And she's always putting out some good words just about helping us to have beneficial thinking.
Well, that's a very important point, because we consume news, but by and large, we are not, I would say we don't put on our melanin caps before
that's right.
we sit down. The news. So we don't come away from the news with information that is beneficial to us.
That's
true. You know, we take sides that we don't necessarily need to take. You know, it's like, oh, that's
yes.
what's happening. And that's what they are doing. We don't need to get on one side or the other side of their whatever it is. It could be a good thing. It could be a dispute. It doesn't matter. We don't have to take sides in it. And I think that's one of the hardest lessons for us to learn. In one of Del Jones' books, there was, I think it's Showdown, but it was a point that was made where, you know, two sides are battling it out. And instead of us jumping in the fray, our best bet is to just sit back and watch for who the winner is, because the winner is going to turn to us and say next, you know. So we need to be prepared to handle our own when the time comes. And I think we forget that. We expend our energy in the part that doesn't concern us, and then when it's time for us to step up, we have exhausted ourselves on some level, you know, being involved. So,
And we can learn more effective ways from our ancestors of how to better deal and more effectively deal with situations like that. It's about thinking right. It's just like a message that says, in order to insult me, I must first value your opinion.
Absolutely.
Once again, in order to insult me, I must first value your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were walking down the road, down the street, going to the Ulu marketplace together with the family and the sisters and brothers, if somebody on the other side of the street cursed us and called us whatever,
mm-hmm.
it would only insult you if you valued their opinion.
Exactly.
But here we are going to gather with the family and the sisters and brothers and the babies included. And somebody across the street said whatever, N-word included. It's just a thought in your mind of how you would respond to that. Because in order to insult me, I must first value your opinion. So I must have some value that I put on the one across the street that cursed me or us. But
right.
if we were, but the ancient Africans also said that when you have mastered calmness, you have mastered one of the keys to life. And when you have mastered that calmness and you really, really get busy with that, a whole bunch of that cussing that somebody could be saying across the street, you would just know that they were there and you would know that poor soul, they need some help. And another thing the Africans said, that when you see two fools hollering at each other, you can't tell who the biggest fool is.
Right.
And then another part to add to that, Africans in the past and currently in some parts of Africa, when someone has had a conflict and even had stolen something, they would go to that person and the village would circle among that person and just show love and loving vibration to the person and even say, what did we not do? What can we do to help you? Because, and then they talk about all of the good attributes of that person. And the outcome is that it has an effect on that person's mind in a harmonious way that person is inwardly ashamed of what they had done because the family came out and showed love to them, not beat them, not cursed them, but showed love and say, what can we do to correct this? Healing.
Right.
And so they were taking corrective action, but this corrective action is on that higher level, and they were showing love, which is on the higher level, and they were showing calmness, which is on the higher level. I hope that makes some sense.
Yes, absolutely. We have a caller with their hand raised. I'm going to open the mic.
Yes.
Caller with the last 4 digits, 3440. Please state your name, where you're calling from, make your comment, or ask your question. Thank you.
Yeah, greetings, Sister Q and Brother Thurman. This is Brother Shibaka calling from South Florida. Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Very well.
Oh, great. Great program. Very wise choice of words, and brother that you were citing there, and sister. I wanted to add some things to the atmosphere that's been going on. I've been bombarded by black folks, you know, ask me about the invasion, the so-called invasion of Ukraine. And I said, well, look, brother, it wasn't really on my radar because last time I saw Ukraine, that was in, you know, Eastern Europe, all right? And the people who were, you know, kicking my butt lived in Western Europe and their descendants over here in the U.S. So my focus has been more on them. But since you asked me about it, and so I want to share with some folks because they're talking about our country needs to intervene. Well, first of all, I don't know what they mean by our country. Not quite clear on that. And knowing that they have very little to no power to make a decision about what is the deployment of what armed forces or what have you. But to educate and inform, first of all, during the eventual breakdown and liquidation of the Soviet Union, of which Ukraine was a part, Belarus were a part of that USSR, okay, it was a part. When it dissolved, all right, they had individual states sort of like that grew out of that. Now, to my understanding, as was explained to me, all right, and Africans, I want you to, you know, check this out. I did a preliminary check, but like I said, it wasn't a major thing on my radar.
All right.
But I had all these Africans coming up to me, ask me or talking to me about the invasion in Ukraine, the awful thing that Russia did. All right. Now, remember now, the USSR, You know, the Soviet Union, of which Russia was a major portion, all right, that was part of that structure. After it dissolved, all right, the UN, now listen to this now, the UN had not finalized the border arrangement, you know, of Ukraine, such that the eastern third of the country, all right, spoke primarily Russian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they were still trying to deal with that, all right? In addition to that, NATO agreed that they would not do any further expansion to the east. Now, this is what NATO, I mean, this, you can get this online. You don't have to listen to me. In fact, I don't want you to listen to me. I want you to check, all right, we'll do no further expansion while at the same time, you know, trying to get countries that border Russia part of NATO, if not part of the European Union.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Belarus and Ukraine have nuclear weapons.
Okay.
In addition, the U.S. have biolaboratories, you know, in Ukraine. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You say, well, why would they have nuclear weapons, and why would the United States want to acquire or at least have control under its sphere of influence of nuclear weapons in Ukraine bordering Russia? Well, we call that to ensure or at least make sure that the possibility of a first strike, you know, is possible with very little repercussions of Russia retaliating. Folks, you got to read a little bit. All right, don't ask me any more questions. You go yourself. All right, Russia is not crazy. Russia has not expanded until NATO has. Now there should be. I mean, after Russia, you know, the USSR stopped being, all right, a global force, NATO was supposed to. NATO only came about supposed to be because of Russia, of the USSR. And once NATO, once USSR liquidated, disappeared, then, you know, NATO was technically supposed to disappear. But NATO has been moving further and further to the east, been involved in places in Africa, been involved in places in Asia. Now, wait a minute, what is NATO frontier, right? And so I just want the brothers and sisters who might, you know, see me to start arguing about Russia's invasion. Unless there's some nuclear bombs being dropped, it's just two white boys fighting. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm not going to get in there and fight until I see if one of them is starting to drop some bombs, then I'm going to have to find out where I can seek some shelter where I don't get help hurt. All right? That's my only interest. All right? So I'll keep an eye on what they're doing, but as far as I'm concerned, there's two white boys that dominated Africa. Russia had this, I mean, USSR had this contingency in Africa, as well as NATO or the Western powers had their contingency, all right, had their sphere of influence, had their surrogate leadership, all right, and African leadership. So, you know, I'm not overly concerned, all right, because there's some white folks that happen to be dying. A whole bunch of black folks have died, and they're dying right now as a consequence of French troops, British troops, all right, U.S. troops, you know, on the African soil. So I wanted to really, you know, tell people to go and check that information out, all right, so that they don't come and ask me or talk to me about what our country should be doing. Okay? All right. The last thing I wanted to talk about, I just wanted to do this very quickly. I know that you're on a time frame, is that everybody's talking about, well, COVID is over. You know, the mandates are beginning to disappear, and we're back to freedom. and whatever other words they can come up with. It's only a diversionary tactic. While we're paying and focusing on what's going on in Eastern Europe, all right, over 26 states, all right, are making it mandatory to have the vaccine passport. And in that passport is not only whether you've been vaccinated, but it also includes other information about your medical history. I just wanted to share that with the brothers and sisters. All right, it's not over.
Right. And
thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk.
Thank you for sharing
all of
that. And it's not just your medical history, your financial history, your credit history. So it's a lot of basically your whole life in this middle.
You are exactly right, particularly the credit history. All right, I just mentioned the health because everybody's talking about COVID and all that other stuff. But they're putting on, as you said, all of the information, your walking history, all right, all on your phone. And I understand that they're even trying to create and may have already created a chip that they will say can, you know, be instilled, which will provide the necessary inoculant, you know, that will take care of any potential virus when the new pandemic strikes.
Right.
So they want to put it right in. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. All right, you all have a good evening, good show.
And also thank you for filling us in on the Ukraine. Because, like as you said, a lot of people think we need to do something about it.
Right.
Okay. Brother Thurman, anything else you want to add on that? Or go to another subject?
Yeah. Well, I think Brother Shabaka, you know, is very vital what he talked about, because as the sister that talked about our thinking, we still need to be aware of what's going on around us, even though we need to, you know, we need to prioritize our thinking and our major focus and our greater focus on getting free out of this state of emergency and the war that's being waged on us.
Right. We have another caller.
Okay.
Yeah, we have another caller, so I'm going to open the mic. Caller with the last 4 digits. 3176. Please state your name.
I don't know.
Greetings, family. This is Brother Auntie calling from Atlanta. Can you hear me?
Yes. Greetings, Brother Auntie.
Greetings. Enjoying the program. Wanted to just, as Brother Thurman said, veggie back on a point that Brother Shabaka had mentioned regarding the. Us doing our research on the Ukraine situation. There was a coup d'etat in Ukraine in 2014, February of 2014. The CIA is implicated as being involved in that. And there was a coup overthrowing the duly elected government in Ukraine and bringing in a group of forces that in part were fueled by extreme right-wing elements, so that the idea was to further undermine the dissolving Soviet Republic, the former USSR. It had already collapsed in 1989, 1991. And so the United States and NATO and the EU have been steadily encroaching upon the former Soviet Republic, trying to get a foothold in and further destabilize and weaken that economy. But the point that I simply wanted to make was that the forces behind the coup in 2014 brought into prominence these extreme right-wing white supremacist elements. So a lot of the money that got poured into Ukraine by the United States was actually funding this right-wing element in Eastern Europe, giving them weapons, militarizing, pushing these right-wing elements into the military and the militia. And so when we see here in the United States all this hand-wringing about, what's going on in Ukraine, and we have to help the Ukrainians, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, two things we have to keep in mind. A, underneath all of this is an economic struggle. Which economic system is going to dominate and maintain hegemony over the world's economic force? And the United States and the EU and NATO are pushing to prop up Western capitalism. And so we have to keep that foremost in mind. And secondly, we have to also understand that in this move towards this maintaining of Western capitalism and Western hegemony, they are also funding these extreme right-wing white supremacist groups. It's been tamped down and not mentioned very often. But then when we see that Africans who were there in Ukraine studying and trying to get out could not, were having difficulty, they were being pulled off the trains, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we wonder, where is that coming from? Well, it's that same racist white supremacy energy that we see in the United States. It's also very prevalent in Eastern Europe. So just to add on to what Brother Shabaka had mentioned, we need to do some research. Something I read years ago said that if you want to understand a thing, you have to understand its history. You have to understand how it began. And so to act like what's going on in Ukraine just happened last week, when you start doing your reading and your research, you find that, there was a coup in 2014. What was that all about? You start seeing how the United States was undermining the USSR as early as 1981 under the Reagan administration, and how the Soviet Union disintegrated in the first place. So it's a lot more complex than we would understand just watching the 6 o'clock CNN news. But the more we research, the more we read, the better we understand. And then we have to, as Shabaka mentioned, just kind of keep an eye on that, because they do have nuclear weapons, and that thing could spiral out of control very easily, and then be a real issue for the entire planet to have to cope with. So I just wanted to throw that in, and thank you, you brothers and sisters. Have a good evening. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You as well. We have another caller, Brother Thurman, so I'm going to let this. Did I lose him? Okay. Caller with the last four digits, 1249. Please state your name, where you're calling from, and make your comment or ask your question. Thank you.
Yes, yes. My name is Mr. Lamar, and I'm calling from Georgia. I'm calling from the Columbus area. And I've got a slightly different perspective on things on that whole Ukrainian piece that was just spoke about. Tell me this: why, if Africans that are traveling abroad to study, why are they selecting these white supremacist countries? We've been knowing for years that Ukraine is a hotbed of neo-Nazi activities and racist activities, and then to get there and discover, these people are racist. I'm having a hard time understanding why we're having a problem the United States is racist. Why people travel to these racist countries, then get there to discover that they're racist, and all of a sudden when they get hit with the, for lack of a better term, nigger wake-up call, it's a problem. I just want to kind of understand that, especially, you know, of course, and I know you all are Pan-Africanists, and you probably may not understand that Pan-Africanism is kind of dying, but I do kind of understand about the ideology, and I love to see Africans develop their own countries so they won't have to go to these European countries for university or whatever. So I just want to just speak on that for a second and see what your thoughts are there as to why our, you know, why Africans and have to travel to these other countries that they know are racist in the first place, instead of, you know, mm-hmm. of course, being about the work of building their own institutions to eliminate the need to go to these European countries that are hostile to blacks anyway.
Thank you for that question. Would you say Marcus is your name?
No, Mr. Lamar.
Mr. Lamar. Thank you, Mr. Lamar, for that comment and question. Brother Thurman, you got anything you want to say regarding that?
Well, I would say first that Brother Lamar is bringing forth questions, and we should always question everything. And one of the things that is largely missing in us being able to conversate with each other is to listen to each other's different points and not be listening or looking for the opportunity to respond back and argue, but to listen. There's he said it real plainly. Why would they be going there? And whatever the answers may be, including I think it gets kind of complicated. Some Africans, wherever they are on the planet, are doing things because they're operating in a survival mode, and they're thinking, if I go here, if I go there, away from their family, their village, their country, that I could get an opportunity. And I agree with him that we should be pooling our intellectual and financial resources in building in a place of our own, including Africa, and instead of going to a place, as he said, that historically is a hotbed and is known to be racist and to have that element there. And I would be in favor that they would think along the lines that Africans, you know, from this day forward would think along the lines of what Brother Lamar spoke about, and not be anxious to go places like that. And we've got to get out of that mindset. So it's like Us Lifting Us says that we either take control of the economics of our communities or we'll forever be at the mercy of others. And it's not just in economics, but economics is a major part, and especially to break free from the capitalist system and to embrace the model that Us Lifting Us is bringing forward, and that is the cooperative economics model. And so I appreciate, you know, the brother bringing that to the conversation. That was another, it was adding more, and I thank him for calling in. And there's just a lot of indicators that we need to pay attention to, and what's happening there in terms of the war. And a little while ago, Brother Shabaka talked about the vaccines, and there's more to come in the vaccine passport. And there's information out there that the masses of us, it's there. We just haven't come across it. But there's articles, quite a few of them on YouTube, and it talks about 8 and 10 stages of genocide. And this woman did a 10-minute conversation. I don't know if it's on YouTube, but it was quite interesting. And we don't have we can't play it tonight, but it's called The Right Stages of Genocide. But among them is lining people up where they would be mandated and forced to take a jab, but forced to have a passport. And she outlined different countries, including Australia, that what cruel things that they're doing to the people. But she also spoke of an African country and actually had a recording of an African leader that was straight up saying that in that particular African country, that you will no longer be able to have banking services and a number of other things if you don't have the jab. And as I listened, my mind was saying, I hope I'm hallucinating on what I heard African speaking that, but it's got great potential to be true. And so we've got to be paying attention to these stages of genocide, and whether you look into the 8 stages or the 10 stages, as they explain it, there's we're on the borderline of stage 7, 8 right now, and most people don't know that because it's something that you'd have to get clarity on. If you don't know about it, you just otherwise just be in confused and ignorant about it.
Yes, for sure. Okay, I'm going to play the ad for the upcoming conference.
Greetings.
Greetings, Brother Ante. Habaragani. What's the news?
Kuji Chagalia. How are you doing today?
I'm well. How about you?
I'm so glad you called. Let me tell you about a very important event happening for ULU members. Did you know that the annual ULU members meeting and convention is coming up soon?
No, I hadn't heard. Tell me more.
Well, as you know, Us Lifting Us is the premier global economic cooperative community for people of African descent.
Mm-hmm.
Collectively, we're building successful business models that give us capacity to gain significant control of the economics of our community.
Yes, I know. And I agree wholeheartedly about this approach to nation building. Tell me more about the annual members meeting and convention.
This year's meeting will be virtual again due to COVID-19, but we're planning a live online event for members to interact with each other, get to know each other, and get to know more about the ULU plan and some important recent initiatives like real estate and cryptocurrency.
Sounds exciting. I want to be there. What do I need to do?
Simply go to usliftingus.com, and that is usliftingus.com, and register there. And if you're interested in becoming a sponsor for the convention, you can sign up there as well.
That sounds easy enough to do. I'm on it right now.
And all ULU members can do that right now. Show your support for ULU. Register now at
usliftingus.com.
Okay, so to reiterate what they just said, the ULU annual meeting and convention is next weekend, March 11th through 13th. That's Friday through Sunday. And you can register now by going to the usliftingus.com website. Go to the convention page. There's a page for, to click on for the convention, where present members can register using the email address of record that ULU has on file for you. No code is needed. You will receive confirmation and meeting access information immediately. Non-members can register on the website as well. You still get confirmation and meeting access information immediately, but there will be some things you will not be able to attend because you're not a member. New members can register with the personalized code that they received by email and receive confirmation and meeting access information immediately. So that's for people who just registered just now in order to register. I mean, who just become members in order to register. You can also get sponsor applications. Sponsor applications will be accepted. I think they're not taking them anymore because there are certain things that have to be done, but you could try it and see what happens. Brother Thurman, we have someone else with their hand up, so I'm going to open the mic for this person and see what we have. Okay. Can you hear me? It's not opening up. Okay. I'm caller with the last four digits, 4779. Please state your name, where you're calling from, and ask your question or state your comment. Thank you.
Greetings, Sister Hugh and Brother Thurman. This is Brother Chago Wilson in Detroit, Michigan. I just called to mention the fact that with all of this attention focused on the Ukraine, there is hardly any mention in any media that at the same time that Russia was invading the Ukraine, the United States was bombing Somalia. Because we all know that Africa is the real goal of all of the world powers.
For sure. Thank you for sharing that. No, I had not heard that.
Yeah, hardly anybody has heard it. But, yeah, the United States bombed Somalia at the same time Russia was invading the Ukraine.
Thank you for sharing that, Bishago.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Brother Thurman, so we're almost to the end here now. We're getting ready to wind up this evening's conversation. So what is it that you would like to make sure that the family takes with them from this evening's discussion, Brother Thurman?
Well, I think that we can certainly appreciate what Brother Chago called in and talked about Somalia being bombed, and we need to know and be aware of these kind of things. And early in the conversation, we were talking about and giving some definition to beneficial words and beneficial thinking. And based on what he had said and what's been going on all along, all of our lives, this war that's being waged on us, unceasing war and this state of emergency, Somalia just adds more to the urgency that we must be about survival strategies every day of our life. And we're in mass, we are failing to do that. And it's like the African wisdom that says that when you wake up in the morning, you should be like a gazelle in Africa. And if the gazelle, when the gazelle wakes up, if it's not ready to run, the lion will eat it. And when we wake up in the morning, if we are not ready and prepared with survival strategies, then we'll just be sitting and chilling, as they use this word that we need to do away with. And they could bomb not just Somalia, but they could bomb us in more places than Somalia, you know, and it's just outrageous and painful to even think about the sisters and brothers that have died and were injured in those kind of brutalities. And we've got to get busy in our survival thinking would incorporate every aspect of our life, including our health. And wellness is one of them, because it's just like in ancient Africa or a long time ago in Africa, when they went out on the battlefield with the invaders, they had already had so many, you know, forever a serious background in medicine and including plant medicine, that when the African warriors came to the battlefield to meet the invaders, they brought with them Africans that were knowledgeable about plants that could heal and could stop bleeding and deal with wounds and pain and pain killing and things like that. And we need to get back in touch with nature and have that degree of knowledge so that we're not dependent and at the mercy of some medical institution to go to them when we used to be totally in charge of our entire life, and whatever happened to our mind, our spirit, our mind, our body, whatever injuries or diseases, they had a workable solution, and many of them that were not invasive like this medical establishment that we're dealing with. And just, it's just like something that I had to share in terms of some beneficial word was a sister did recently a 4-minute piece on veganism in ancient Africa, and the title was it. The title is "Here's the Surprising Black History of Veganism," and she went on to talk about ancient Africans in Africa, and Africans were in India, and this included India and the Mediterranean. Plants were plentiful and nourishing, and a natural thing to eat, and just. If you looked at a nature program about Africa, including rainforest, and if you look around it as the camera is moving around, you'd see a whole lot more plants than you'd see animals.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of tells you right there, there wasn't these herds and herds and herds and herds of cows. But you got a question, you know, where, and so in this article that the sister brought forth about here's a surprising black history of veganism, it went on to show on film that until the invaders came and they introduced commercial farming methods which produced a lot more animals but also fewer indigenous crops, before the invaders came, there was a whole lot fewer diseases that were just unknown. But since the invaders have come, it's just off the chart how many diseases that they claim exist. So what mm-hmm. we got to do is get busy and keep ourselves spiritually, mentally, physically, and nutritionally well to be prepared as a survival strategy for whatever may come. And in our spiritual mental makeup, we've got to be about radiating a frequency that will counter this stuff instead of just being out of touch with our higher self. And I'm talking about our higher self inside, our inner self, to use that to an advantage as part of our survival strategy. Right. And I hope that I said that well enough.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I said I was saying that I hope that I made that plain enough that you could understand where I was coming from.
Yes, for sure. And I wanted to add, you mentioned about the warriors. There was a time where the warriors were also the healers. As a matter of fact, you were not allowed to be a warrior until you had learned how to repair or heal any damage you might have done in war. So we don't have that. We don't have warriors, actually, by and large. We have soldiers who follow orders. Warriors is a whole nother kettle of fish. And also mentioning regarding all the lust vegetation, there was a video on YouTube. I don't know if it's still there. It was called something like Chicken a la Carte, and it was done in China. And the takeaway that I got from it was, the story was that this man got on his bicycle. He lived in the countryside. He got on his bicycle and rode to the city and got leftovers from the restaurant and mm-hmm. brought them back to family. And I'm looking at it, and there's all of this vegetation all over everywhere. And I'm thinking, what did ancestors eat? Because I'm sure they didn't go get on a bicycle and ride to the city to get somebody's leftover. It's just that we have been trained not to know. And so we are at the mercy of others. And like you said, we just need to learn or relearn or remember the things that are in us to know. So, Brother Thurman, I would like to thank you for tonight's conversation. And I want to thank everyone who joined us this evening. You can join us again next Wednesday evening at 9 o'clock Eastern Time for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace, everyone.
Thank you, family. Thank you, Sister Q.